It is a time of legend. The galaxy is in flames. The age of knowledge and enlightenment has ended. The age of darkness has begun.
Greetings and welcome to a special episode of the Fires of Betrayal podcast. A podcast that is dedicated to discussing the various games set in the Age of Darkness, as well as all the lore that surrounds them. Today's special episode, we are once again discussing new, fantastic, epic game, Horus Heresy Legions Imperialis. Particularly, recent four preview articles that Warhammer community have put out. Today I am joined by my buddy AJ, and we're going to quickly fly through these four articles, giving us our initial thoughts on where we think the game's going. We're both incredibly excited about playing.
Absolutely.
Starting at the top, on the 3rd of July, we had an article drop called 10 Things You Need to Know About Warhammer Horus Heresy Legion Imperialis, which followed on from the preview show we had at the weekend. This was mostly an excuse for them to once again show us the picture of all of the content of the upcoming big box and talk about the stuff that's going to come alongside the game. Mostly talking about all the other epic scale games they've had in the past, namely Britannicus and Aeronautica, basically confirming that all of those relevant models to the Horus Heresy, especially the case of Aeronautica, will be present in the game at day one.
Here's hoping.
He seemed to indicate that we'll have rules for everything in the core book, giving us army lists as well.
Yeah, that's the impression that I got as well.
I'm interested in. Like, that is quite the sea change for Games Workshop. Usually you have your rule book and then your supplemental materials, and if the rule book also consists the army lists, yeah.
Yeah, I think this may be partially like an advanced damage control, because I know folks are going to be a little miffed about it only being a 30k heresy-only setting. So they're trying to get everything together out the door.
It's interesting, and I'm going to be paying close attention to future articles, seeing how they reference army construction. Following that little bit of blurb, they then took a moment to talk about the actual game itself, which was something I was desperate for when we recorded the last show. I was saying that I really wanted to see, like, actual rules. They've given us a very generalized overview of the game. Apparently, we're going to have detachments, so things like the cluster of marines we saw in the picture, so the HQ unit, the four bases of tactical marines, and the supporting units would be a single detachment. They would be considered a single activation. Much like in Titanicus, you have a unit of like three Imperial Knights making up a unit, perhaps something similar with a pile of bases all coming together, and even though in 40k they may be distinct units, they work as a single thing. The game works on a system where you place orders down, and then you resolve those orders. And you don't necessarily know what your opponent's going to do, which is something that was in Aeronautica.
Also in the old school Titanicus game.
Yep. And I think a version of Epic had it as well. But I can't recall right now. But anyway, it's a pretty good system. I've seen it done in other games. We'll make it a very, very tactical game.
Now that grand strategy, that outplaying your opponent before they play anything.
They do say that it is going to be a game of non-stop action with alternating activations, which is modern game design. We aren't going to be stuck in the old-style gameplay that 30k, 40k, and Age of Sigmar are stuck in. We're going to see how that interacts with the orders. Like, a lot of how this game is going to play is going to be based on how restricted are those orders when you give a unit. Are we basically saying, shoot, move, charge? Or are we saying, move so many inches forward, turn like that? More precise the order you have to give blind, more tactical the game's going to be.
My guess is that it's going to be similar to how Aeronautica did it with, like, once you activate it, like, you're stuck in that particular type of order. You're just, more for Aeronautica, the maneuver. But then once you've given it, like, you can, there's still some leeway in how to execute it once that's happened. For, like, the movement range, like, as long as, like, the movement happens, like, the beginning, you can still have the extra speed at the end of it rather than the beginning or vice versa. With this being a blind order, which I'm assuming it's going to be every unit will have its own order full round. Then once the activations go back and forth, you'll wind up having one unit will have an assault order, which would be like, oh, it moves like a shorter distance than a regular move, but then it can attack at the end of that move type thing, versus a regular just straight move wouldn't allow them to do that.
I'm interested to see how that works out. So that's exciting. They also followed up by saying the battlefield is going to be something that you're going to... Game's not being built for units to stay on the table for long, so expect to be picking up a lot of units. which is standard GW games these days. We're also looking at progressive scoring, where you'll score at the end of every round rather than at the end of the game, which is really good. I know the Horus Heresy recently has pivoted to progressive scoring in the latest campaign book, and I think it's made the game better. More on that coming in the actual next real episode of Rise of Betrayal. But I think this is really good for Epic. In fact, probably is one of my biggest itches of a problem with Titanicus, is that Titanicus is generally not progressive scoring, which can make the games kind of... who can kill the other person?
One-sided sometimes.
Yeah. And the other thing it finishes off with, really, is talking about the idea, well, for the game itself, that your armies are going to be combined arms. You're not looking at having a single force, so you're not going to just rock up to the table with just a marine list. Well, you could, but it's talking about the idea that you, within your army, you're going to want multiple different things. You're going to want some planes, you're going to want a titan. You may want marines and auxiliary to do different things on the table, and there are going to be pretty flexible designs for that. And also, for your bigger vehicles, you're going to want specialized equipment, indicating that some of the more exotic weaponry in Titanicus will have better uses than it gets currently in the game. I am looking forward to my Vulcan Megabolter mowing down piles of auxiliary.
I'm actually excited to see the using my Inferno Cannons and my Warhounds for a change, because I never really used those in Titanicus.
There is one set of Inferno Cannons I'm very looking forward to using, and that's the Inferno Cannons on the Warmaster.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Titanic footfall damage is going to be on the Titans.
Yeah, yeah. Plus all the other little guns, things like the Ardex defense system, they actually matter.
Watch, we're thinking too far into it, and none of those are actually really going to matter at all.
No, not at all. But that's the fun of where we're at the moment.
That's true.
And finally, on that preview article we had talking about Battlefield, they're going to talk about a lot of different terrain types. They reference more than just hive cities, reference jungles, lava fields, and beyond, which is exciting for me. I like building scenery at the scale. They also preview some wonderful Titanicus scenery, one of which is ruined, and it looks like a brand new bit, which is fantastic. Being someone who's made ruined scenery that matches the GW Titanicus style box city, I'm looking forward to new sprues.
Yeah, that Civitas kit was just fun to put together, and it worked well. So,
I'm looking forward to getting my hands on another box of it. I mean, I've built so much of it, but
I'm excited to see what they come up with for like the new range expansions on the official line, and then how I'm going to work that in with my grimdark terrain stuff that I print.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be the big way to expand it. And I think even little things, like I've seen in the later article we'll get to, we've got the industrial kit back out, and that's a really fun kit, and it's going to be so fun to build on bases with the Marines and the like. So
yeah, that's going to make it really interesting.
Following that great article, the following day, on the 4th of July, we got small but perfectly formed, a closer look at the Incredible Legion's Imperialis miniatures. This was an interesting article, because it didn't contain any rules, we just had some kind of, I wouldn't even say close images, because the images still are pretty zoomed out, referencing the scale difference between the Epic miniatures and the miniatures we see in the Horus Heresy. Particularly memeable image of a tactical marine standing next to a stack of 5 Epic marines, showing that they're the same height. In all honesty, until I looked at this article a couple of hours ago, I'd forgot it was here, and I actually thought the image was a meme, and yeah, it is what it is. There's not a huge amount to say about this one, but I think we hit a good point earlier on. Me and AJ were talking about the Space Marine models don't look as detailed as the Solar Auxilia models. And I know I touched on it the other day, saying the paint job for the Marines looks rough. They don't look any better.
No, they don't. I've heard this echoed in a lot of communities I'm in, that a lot of folks are unimpressed with the quality of the sculpt for the Marines. They say that they've gotten better results on 3D printers for themselves. And I'm in that camp. Like, I've done some that are... these ones look like somebody like finger-painted them with clay type thing and tried to squish them down. But, I mean, that's... if you're going to be doing them in that kind of quantity, like, does it really matter? But
I do sort of notice that they're looking at the Contemptor and the Tactical Marine and then going down to look at the Sakaaran. The Sakaaran looks so much better. So much more detail than the Sakaaran model. it does make me wonder whether we're looking at an early production model that got painted.
Possibly.
Painted by someone perhaps who didn't quite know what they were doing. They started with a tactical marine, and then by the time they got to the rest of the box, they were doing it a lot better.
Yeah, it's possible.
So, I want to see, I'm sure in a, like, the end of the month, we're going to see the images of these boxes being painted by pro painters, because that's generally how Games Workshop works, and I'll reserve judgment really for detail at that point.
Yeah, like initial images, like, you never know, but...
Yeah, there's definitely an asterisk and a bit of breath-holding going on about that one.
The rest of the range, though, like, I have a feeling that I am going to be fielding a lot of tanks rather than infantry, so I'm not too shook up about it. And the quality I've seen with, like, all my Aeronautica stuff, all my Titanica stuff, like, I'm happy, regardless.
Vining's been in plastic. It's always been awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of which...
Speaking of plastic...
Yeah, after a day off on the 5th of July, we didn't get anything. The 6th of July, we had Return of Heresy Thursday... Unleash a pack of Direwolf Scout Titans with a new plastic kit.
Finally.
And they show us brand new box sets where we'll get a box with two Direwolf Titans in them. And these Titans blew me away. As has been said on this podcast before and back on the God Engine cast, I was not a huge fan of the old Direwolf model. I thought it looked odd. And, you know, AJ, you've talked about your issues with the resin kit.
At length. Yeah. I'm very happy to see these.
They are... They're beautiful. They're on the new bases for Imperialis, and they look good. They're both in Leader Immortus colors. On a complete tangent here, I do want to point out that the rear Titan has red and white stripes on it, which I've been informed is a new type of heraldry for Leader Immortus, and no one was expecting that sort of coloration. I think the artists didn't necessarily know what they were doing, but it looks good.
Yeah, it's a bit disconcerting for the folks that follow the lore.
Yeah, but then again, lore can change.
That's true.
I mean, Titans are always unique, so I like to see differences, and I think it actually works really well.
It does.
Yeah, two beautiful Titans. Those who've been following all the episodes on my podcast will know. A couple of weeks ago, I put out a podcast that was a re-release of a God Engine cast back from when the Warmaster was released. Namely, me and three of my friends sitting around talking about how terrible the paint job on the Warmaster previewed was. And that was also a Leader Immortus Titan. I think they've learned all their lessons. They've gone from much darker black, and it looks like Leader Immortus rather than some greyed out, not quite correct Legio, and the models just bounce off the screen because of it.
They heard some sort of feedback, that's for certain.
Yeah, they're just great. Now, beyond just gushing about the models, which we could do for a while, they are talking a few other things. They do sort of point out that the new weapons... They are going to work in Adeptus Titanicus. I'm interested to see where those rules are. Are they going to be in the box for these new Titans, or are they going to appear in a new Titanicus supplement, which is something we'll get to in a minute. The new gun looks really good because it's a conversion beamer, and conversion beamers are awesome, and there aren't enough of them in the game in general. Yeah.
The only thing that I really am excited for about them is that they're plastic. With my woes with the resin version of it, I'm... very excited to see how it performs with a plastic kit. So, as for, like, the models making the jump between Titanicus to Imperialis, like, I'm hopeful that, like you mentioned, everything is going to be in the box, but Games Workshop has had a history of not including the stuff that you would expect them to include at times, so I'm a little bit reserved in that still.
Okay. So, that brings us to the article released the day we are recording this. Legion Imperialis, your burning questions answered. Over the course of this week, as anyone on the internet will know, there has been a lot of tension about this game, especially in the communities that were hoping for Epic to be 40k base, where they could have Xenos races. It was especially seen in the Aeronautica communities that are seeing about 90% of the range being cut. This article answered a lot of those questions, but they also broke a lot of hearts, I think is the best way to say it. We're just going to go through the points of this article and go off on a few tangents from there. We'll start with their first statement. Will we ever see Warhammer 40,000 factions in this game? And they are saying no. It is set firmly in the Heresy.
Not a maybe, not sometime soon or eventually, but no.
I've seen a lot of hand-wringing about this over the internet, saying, oh, Games Workshop are making a mistake. While I understand some of that, I think this is really good they're saying it, and I'm looking forward to the game system that will be balanced.
Yes. Now, a lot of folks will make the argument that, like, you could still have balance with, like, the 40K setting, but it winds up being a lot of, like, extra bookkeeping versus this is all, every unit's the same, so we know how the units are going to play against each other. Customize them as you will.
Yeah. I think it's a... feel comfortable with them doing this because I know they can do a good game with it. I know one of the beauties of Titanicus, and I was talking about this yesterday, I played a game of Titanicus in Tulsa, was that though there are only like 11, 13 total units, if you can include all the knights, there are so many different ways to put them on the table. There are close to 30 different factions in the game, including knight households, even probably even more than that if you include all the knight households. There are more actual individual factions than there are in 40K. It's just they're smaller. They don't have the same divergent game style. And I think trying to work out, you know, okay, this is a game that's going to work like this, and how are the Elder going to be different to the Orcs, and how are the Orcs are going to be different to Chaos? You end up having to break rules of the game for factions, and that makes one of them generally overpowered.
Yeah.
You just have to look at the Warhammer 40K, like, any Warhammer 40K group talking about 10th edition, and you'll see about people complaining about faction imbalance. Yeah. I just want a game I can play with my buddies and does not have to worry about that, and not worry that you're bringing the army that's maybe a bit too meta.
Yes. The way I've talked to some of the folks online about it is, like, a lot of the current, like, epic community has been like, well, we've been, like, printing our own stuff anyways, repurposing old stuff. You can still continue to do that. Like, yeah, it sucks that this new thing isn't for y'all, but at the same time, like, nothing's stopping you from continuing what you're already doing with it.
It doesn't invalidate any old game, which is, it's not going to invalidate Titanicus if they destroy Titanicus.
We're not getting the new thing, and that's understandable, but come on.
So going on, they talk about, can we still use Titanicus and Aeronautica and Imperial Artists models? You know, yes, but not really much of the Aeronautica range. I haven't done the exact maths, but my brain wants to say it's about 10% of the range is coming over. We're looking at some of the Imperial Navy stuff and the Space Marine stuff.
Yeah, I was genuinely surprised by, like, the Astra Militarum stuff getting the axe, but I wasn't super well versed in the lore side of it, thinking, like, oh, they may have been around forever, but not later. So it makes sense.
Yeah, the Militarums, there's a lot of debate about that, because obviously the books, Black Library novels, are very wishy-washy with tanks. Like, I've been re-listening to The First Heretic recently. There is reference to Vendettas and Valkyries in that.
Yep.
That book was published in 2014. We're almost 10 years later now. The universe is a lot more fleshed out.
The lore can maneuver and change.
They talk about the new bases, the fact they are a little thinner. This is to make the tables look better. And I agree with it. I think the small little flatter bases do look a lot better.
A little less plastic to move around the table as well.
Like I said last time, I don't think anyone's going to go out and rebase their stuff if they don't have to. But in fact, they go to the next line thing.
To piggyback off that, they mentioned with the, they're releasing bases for Aeronautica stuff that are actually like flying.
Yeah.
I'm assuming flying bases for 30K side. I will be repurposing all of my Aeronautica stuff since I haven't touched that game itself in years.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
But the Titan stuff, it's going to stick with the bases I've made for them already.
Yeah. No, same here. Which brings us to the next big line. It's like, will Adeptus Titanicus and Aeronautica still be supported? They state, and I'm going to read the whole of the statement and then we can dig into it, that Adeptus Titanicus and Aeronautica Imperialis are both fantastic games that dig into the intricacies of special forms of combat that they represent. Legions Imperialis is designed to represent the massive combined arms battles on all fronts, and its rules for aircraft and titans are more streamlined. Port for Adeptus Titanicus and Aeronautica Imperialis in the Horus Heresy setting only will continue. Do you continue to play these games alongside their existing epic scale? Huh. Now, for Imperial Aeronautica, we already have the book for Aeronautica in the Horus Heresy. And that's great. I'm presuming that book's going to become available once again. And we'll hopefully keep the game on life support in some ways. Again, representing about 10% of the models that were available 3 months ago. Now, Titanicus is... this is an interesting statement for Titanicus. And I'm going to put something out there that I current Titanicus starter box is really aggressively priced. Let me just double check what it's actually currently going for on gamesworkshop.com. So the current Titanicus starter set is $170. Comes with two Warhounds, two Knights, and two Reaver Titans. Whole host of little bases that are going to find plenty of use in Epic. You're going to need that box to support Titanicus, because Titanicus requires the cards and the specialized dice and the templates. The question is are they going to want a box set that is going to have basically an Epic army in it at a really, really good price? My gut tells me no. And if I was Games Workshop, I would look at the box they put out initially for Titanicus, that rules box, which had the rule set and all the templates. It was pretty successful until they pulled it for this new starter set a couple of years ago. It wouldn't surprise me that if they are continuing to support Titanicus, that we see a 1.5 or a version 2 rulebook put out inside a compilation box that they can just put on the shelf next to the Epic starter box and go, look, if you buy enough Titans for Epic, you can play this game if you buy this other rules box.
That's an interesting take on it. I like it, though.
It just feels like, because I can't see them putting, well, Games Workshop do things to surprise me all the time. Obviously, they may just continue to sell this Epic army at a really cheap price.
Well, that actually gives me an idea for, like, maybe the way they're going to counteract that is with, like, a rules thing of, like, oh, you can't have a Titan-only army for Imperialis. Titans are only a support unit. And so you wouldn't be able to field, like, a full manacle.
That may be, yeah. I mean, they did talk a bit on detachments. There are going to be specific detachments you have to fill out. Maybe that would be a way to limit it, but I don't know.
I hope they don't axe that starter box, because that starter box is the way I got a lot of folks involved with Titanicus, because it was, look at all the value for your money.
Yeah, I'm both ways. Like, if they want to axe it, they want to axe it, and providing they give us a good way to get the rules, and I'm all down for that old $50 box set with everything in it. Like, because very quickly, a lot of people are going to have Epic armies, and then we can just get them to Titanicus with another cheaper box, so... Following this, about the different styles of gameplay that we're going to see between Titanicus and Legions Imperialis, they claim the play experience is going to be worlds apart, which worries me a bit. It makes me think these Titans are not going to be... Well, I think these Titans are going to be incredibly simplified. I do not think we're going to have to worry about heat. I'd be very surprised if we even have to worry about repair phases or raising void shields, and probably once a void shield goes down, we've lost it.
No firing angles.
No firing angles. Definitely no firing angles. Be interesting, and that's going to, again, we talked about it briefly on the episode when we finished recording last week. Enjoy the really simplified version of Battletech that is Alpha Strike, and if they give us something like that, I'll be all for it. We talk about the factions that are going to be supported, and we say we've got in the starter set, we've got Legions Astartes, the Solar Auxiliary, Titan, but there's going to be no single, like, your army list is going to be Space Marine. It's going to be a mixture of it based on your detachments. And they've also said that we are going to see a lot more plastic models over the next couple of weeks, which sounds great.
I'm hoping for a plastic Stormbird.
A plastic Stormbird would be good. They're also talking about Epic scale Primarchs, which would be interesting.
That would be fun.
Yeah, their official line is, when can I buy an Epic scale Primarch? And their answer is, wouldn't that be something? Which, you know, is a pretty heavy wink, nudge there, so...
Yes.
I suspect we'll see that sort of stuff in coming from Forge World, but they talk a bit about the scale changes between the two ranges. There's been a lot of scale change since 80s, last time Epic was out. In fact, 90s was last time that Epic was out. But they've become a lot more consistent. They're trying to make sure the scale makes sense, which is nice. They did that with Titanicus recently as well. I mean, that was one of the big changes with the new release of Titanicus, is that all of the Titans were of the same scale, which is one of the reasons why the Imperator is a model I wouldn't expect to see in Titanicus. Now, maybe we'll see it in Epic. Really does open the door.
Yeah, because then you can actually have movement with it.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Talk about how big the game's going to be. About playing it with a handful of troops and tanks, but that's not really what they want to do. Looking at 100 plus playing pieces on the table. So we are talking like Fall Skies games of as many pieces on the table as you would have for a Fall Skies game of normal Warhammer in tiny, tiny form, which is pretty awesome. They're saying that the starter box does not represent a large army, but actually a pretty small one. Which, yeah, brings me hope that my full knight household will just slot straight in the starter box. Which is all pretty good. 1 week after the previews, I'm looking at a system... We're looking at a release that's going to be huge. I mean, huge is not even the right word for it. It's going to be one of those releases, I think, for Games Workshops that's going to define the next decade of games. For better or worse, the clamor for Epic has been going on since Titanicus came out, when they started going back to that scale. I really feel like they've got everything they presented this week has only made me more hyped for it and hasn't set many warning bells off, perhaps other than the detail of the Space Marines. Yeah, I'm firmly on the hype train.
It hasn't done anything to diminish the initial hype of, oh, this is finally happening.
If anything, I'm now at the point now, it's not only happening, but I feel like they're doing it right.
Initial, yeah.
I mean,
let's not get our hopes too high. It is GW, after all.
Well, yes, I mean, there's plenty of negativity out there. Like, it doesn't take much to go out on the internet and find negativity about these review articles.
That's true.
I don't know how to phrase this. Usually, they put something out that's made me always go, like, oh, that was a choice. I haven't done that yet. Maybe it is because I've got low expectations, but...
Maybe, but they have done this, what feels like a... It's been, like, a thorough reveal to where it's, like, this is what how they started it with, like, this is coming. And as they've introduced, like, various aspects to it, it hasn't been, like... There haven't been any foot-and-mouth moments.
And it's... speed they've done everything has been incredible. I wasn't sure, like, when they... Last week, when they said, oh, yeah, it's going to be end of August, a start of August release, and I'm like, wow, that's, like, a month away. Now I'm sitting here like, sure it's not going to be next week? Let's see how it goes. They keep on putting out an article every other day. It's going to be a brutal month. I suspect it will slow down before too long. I think they needed to do this to get the hype train properly rolling, but as I'm recording on a Friday night out of my usual schedule, I guess it's working.
Yep, it is a test. Because you and I have been talking about it out of the podcast pretty frequently.
Yesterday I went up to Tulsa, play a game of Titanicus with Brent, and Storm. So the store owner at Top Deck Games up there in Tulsa has been a huge fan of Epic forever, and like he brought like three of the Titanicus scenery boxes and been sitting on his shelves for ages, and he was putting them together and being like, yep, this is going to be the store terrain for Epic, and he's priming a pile of Warhounds, and he was pulling out his old Imperial Guard and looking at rebasing them. Like, wow. This is a guy, you know, normally you go in and you can't get him to talk about Games Workshop other than trying to make a sale. Like, he's all every other game under the sun. Yeah. And when he got the GW rep on the phone for an order, and that's all he could talk to them about was Epic. So I'm like, yeah.
That's good.
We got the old guys coming back out the woodwork for it. So, like I say, I mean, obviously something's going to happen and there will be a moment where everyone goes, ooh, they shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, but we're expecting it to happen, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, I'm excited because obviously internet can be a pretty negative place. But whenever I step out into the community and start talking to people, everyone's like, this is big. I think there's more positivity around it than has been about a new game in a while.
Yes.
Okay. I think that probably brings us to where we need to wrap up.
I was going to say, they did make a mention of the certain niche units and upgrades are going to be like Forge World resin. Like, they strongly suggested it would be.
I think we'll see the formula we've seen in Heresy. So imagine there are going to be factions. Like, they haven't said there are no factions. They just haven't really given an indication of what the factions are yet.
Yeah.
So I imagine there will be some factionality, and I think specialized units will come through Forge World. So your Primarchs will come from Forge World. If they put out things like Elvor Back, for example, that will be a unit you buy through Forge World.
Now, do you think that they are going to do the entire range of Heresy in this new scale for this system? I want to say yes, but...
not in any time frame that's sane.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think we'll get a couple of really big feature pieces. So I think, like I say, the Primarchs and, you know, probably some Mechanicum stuff that will be resin. Not, I said the Galvor back a minute ago, but I'm not actually sure we'll see them, because I think the actual Space Marine descriptions are going to be kind of loosey-goosey. Like, I don't think you're going to get, like, oh, this squad here is Flamers, this squad here is Plasma. I think it's going to be, no, these are just a tactical support squad.
Yeah, we're not going to get that I mean, that far down into the minutiae.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll say, oh, this is a Galval back squad, but this could be a veteran assault, you know, a veteran close combat unit or something like that.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Well, I think we'll call it there. I'm sure we'll be back when they release a few more articles. Hopefully we'll start getting an idea of a release date soon, because generally those sorts of informations end up leaking before too long. I expect here in a week or two, the team reps will start contacting friendly local game stores and asking them for how many boxes they want to order. And that will start getting the timetable on everything. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone listening, I wish you all well. Have a great week. We'll be back in a week's time with an episode on the second half of the Siege of Chthonia book. Probably be another special episode as soon as there are enough material for us to talk about. Till then.
Please subscribe to the podcast on your podcatcher of choice, and we will see you in 2 weeks. If you have any questions for the show, please email us at firesofbetrayal@gmail.com or reach out through our social media account or at reserve to their respective owners. Until next time, we wish you all good fortune.